In addition to Mosier, there is still an active local art scene here. Much of the work falls in the arts and crafts or commercial traditions, but there is also at least a remnant of the avant-garde in the work of those such as the experimental photographer Pinky Bass. In the current literary community, both Mark Childress and Winston Groom have ties to Fairhope and the Eastern Shore, as do Terry Klein, Judith Richards, and others.
Ernest Berry Gaston founded the Single Text Club.
And as for the age-old lodestone of the arts community, after a period of decline, the organic school is, by most accounts, experiencing a resurgence. With 60 students in K-8 and plans underway to re-expand through high school, the school is attempting to strengthen the link to its roots.
We have the traditional academic subjects of math, reading, science, social studies, as well as folk dancing, art, woodshop. Right now our older children are taking a photography class. So all of those things create a balance in the child's life. Marietta Johnson believed that living is learning and learning is living. They learn here that it's not just school, that learning is life. And every opportunity that surrounds them is an opportunity for learning. And the community is a big part of that.
But what of the community's other founding institution? A member and past vice president of the Fairhope Single Tax Corporation, Dean Mosier surveys a town that his predecessors might scarcely recognize. It is now an increasingly wealthy, predominantly Republican stronghold. Symbolically, in the 1970s, the Fairhope Courier rewrote its banner, transforming itself from a progressive paper for progressive people to Baldwin County's prestige newspaper. The town was the only one in Alabama listed in a book called Safe Places East, and it is now on numerous lists of prime retirement communities.
It suggested to me that Fairhope was created as a place that was aimed, that was intended to solve social problems, but that it became a place where people came to escape social problems.
This is one of the two fastest growing counties in Alabama. In the old cottage district, on land once free of purchase price, there are modern mansions and manor houses, and the remaining cottages themselves can sell for $400,000. Deciding that it was unenforceable, the Single Tax Corporation ended its price controls on land transfers in the 1990s, leaving prices to be set by the market and assessments by the county. Even those who considered the change inevitable recognized the irony.
I can't believe my eyes. You gave an example of a hut that was going for $400,000. I think there's an empty lot on Summit right now for $239,000.
Economic factors compound those of race. The black population in Baldwin County as a whole is small, about 7%. Most blacks in the Fairhope area continue to live in their historic settlement area on the south side. Like the white community, it has become insular.
You do tend to be mistrustful because you got a generation that caught the tail end of the Jim Crow area. And I got friends in both communities, but I also know in my community, you know, you're just tear hard at that. If you work hard, you send your daughter or son off to college, they get a degree, they come back here, they cannot make that much money, cannot even live here, they can't even get an apartment here.
This is now an area on the move. Part of it sits just outside the city limits, between upscale new neighborhoods in Fairhope and the expanding resort complex surrounding the Grand Hotel at Point Clear, where many of the residents hold service jobs. Part of this area is in stunning contrast to its upscale surroundings.
In order for this community to survive the coming decade, we must get into the city where it's able to be protected, where it can seek out avenues of funding, that it can get their homes remodeled, build affordable home for the young folks, be able to survive in it.
Economically and politically, annexation may be viewed by some as more a liability than an asset in an increasingly wealthy and homogeneous community, and something the city has been slow to respond.
Just felt like the city did not owe up to its responsibility in doing the problem. The simple proposal was to vote to allow these people to come into the city, which meant that a majority of people who vote, they have had plenty of proposal came to them, and they had allowed this to happen.
Hi, I'm Larry Thomas.
Some city leaders say there's a lack of consensus among the residents themselves and have suggested a slower, piecemeal process while supporting the principle in general.
Whether you're Black, Hispanic, or Asian, or white, it doesn't really matter, I don't believe. I think what it really matters is we want people who want to get involved and be part of this community. And as long as they're willing to be part of the community, we want you here.
One of my ideals would have been if Fairhope could have become, in the 1960s, an oasis of racial brotherhood. That could have been its new, informing, progressive idea.
In fact, the Single Tax Corporation's involvement in issues of race has continued to be minimal. Having again shied away from controversy during the civil rights movement, the organization has since been preoccupied by continuing internal disputes and a degree of complacency in the community at large.
People are where they want to be, and they're making the kind of living they want to make, and they're making the kind of money they want to make, and they don't want to be told that an earlier idealism might be on a collision course with their self-interest.
In the last half of the 20th century, the corporation, increasingly disconnected from its radical roots, became primarily a land management organization dealing in ever more exclusive real estate, with the startling result that today members of the egalitarian model community not only tend to be equally well-to-do, they are still equally and exclusively white, a fact that some of the tradition's most prominent do not excuse.
After the great furor over the civil rights movement had died down, and George Wallace and all the racists were beginning to be discredited, then there was no reason why it couldn't have done so. But unfortunately, it didn't.
As the Single Tax Corporation, as deeded property owners, as, you know, citizens, as human beings, yes, we have shirked our responsibility collectively in this regard, whether it be through justifiable circumstances or otherwise. We have not lived up to that potential. And I have to say, that is a failure.
The least we can do is speak and recognize this chasm and recommend that our moral authority or our ideals would argue for building some bridges.
But believe me, if they feel that this is where they need to go to bridge gaps, I'll be right on there bridging it with them. I really will join with any organization that wants to bridge gaps. And I can get some more people to join with them too.
Meanwhile, there are well-to-do African-American families who have moved to old Fairhope neighborhoods for the same amenities that have attracted whites.
Here we have a picture of my dad.
Verna Johnson had been forced to leave Fairhope as a child to find E.B. Gaston's equality of opportunity and individual rewards. Through her father's determination, despite his third-grade education, she was able to afford a college degree and built a rewarding life in Chicago. After raising their children, she returned to Fairhope with her husband to savor the rewards of their labor, like many of their neighbors with whom they now have found much in common.
I tell everybody that in the South, maybe it's just privy to Fairhope, but here you live where you can afford to live.
I find no one as prejudiced as I can say the North. But here, gosh, it's open. The South, I'll say this, I'll never leave the South.
Thank you.
But the Johnsons have also maintained ties in predominantly black neighborhoods. Charles is a primary force behind the Southside Boys and Girls Club.
That's good. That's good.
Berna as a tutor in a nearby middle school.
I don't think that anybody who has anything can really call it their own unless they're giving some of it away. With us, we give our time and talent away.
This is a new beginning of a millennium. Let's move with the time by overcoming the old ways and devote our time to tomorrow.
And in response to the mutual insulation of the black and white communities, Charles Johnson recently ran for city council.
As a candidate, I felt well received. I had no one making any remarks, negative remarks at all.
When we were on the campaign trail, they would come up and say, it's way past due time for there to be a black city councilman. Way past due time in Fairhope.
Although the effort was unsuccessful, the Johnsons choose to believe that their involvement in the community has brought Fairhope one step closer to a fuller realization of its heritage.
I really hope that Fairhope will hold true to its model. 100 years ago, that was the promise that was made. We want to reach out and let it really be a place to be for all people.
There are women and men that talk to me who actively are interested in membership in the corporation and who recognize the idealism of the past and wonder about where it's going to go in the future, hope that it exists.
And if we don't provide opportunities for all segments of our community, then I think we failed at that basic tenet. So.
To some extent, a more active Fairhope Single Tax Corporation is now trying to reconnect to its roots. It recently opened Colony Place, intended to attract a moderate income, potentially multiracial population. With a $20,000 transfer fee, it's a far cry from free land, but that's only half the purchase price of deeded lots across the street. On its 100th anniversary, it christened Centennial Hall, a community education building on the old organic school campus. It has developed ball fields and a wetland preserve, and is involved with the city in a long-term plan to replicate the large public parks and green spaces of Old Fairhope in the rapidly developing eastern end. And true to its charter, it continues to donate a significant portion of its income from rent to projects concerned with the quality of life in the community as a whole. The quality of life here is clearly good. This unlikely utopian experiment has not only survived, but prospered, and has largely shaped the character of a beautiful and unique community. By any ordinary standards, Fairhope is an unqualified success. But the standards set by its founders were not ordinary, and in any final analysis, they are difficult to ignore.
I think we have achieved a magnificent testament, and on the other hand, we failed miserably. The sense of community spirit is what has always made it different. That's still very much alive and well, but people need to be educated as to where it came from.
The Fairhope Single Tax Colony was founded to address the major social and economic problems of their time. And some of those problems are the same: the maldistribution of wealth, power, and privilege, the increasing divisiveness of our societies. There needs to be a new burst of energy and a lifting of sights and a vision on social and economic problems, certainly on racial problems, and then try to see how the Fairhope Single Tax Colony could take its heritage and apply it to the problems of today and be realistic and honest about it. Tough assignment.
In the meantime, there remains yet the collective memory of something more ethereal.
Well, you want to hear a leprechaun story? Well, I have lots of them.
The children all keep coming to me. We want to do the leprechaun walk, and they're wonderful walks. There's wonderful stories, and they can imagine things. They can create, they can dream.
Amid the rapid encroachment here and everywhere of the homogenous, there lingers at least an echo of the poetic, the magical, a half-forgotten faith in the singular vision, the solitary path, the journey taken purely for the joy of the passage.
The intellectual diverse community, I do not see rising up in anywhere near the strength that it was, but that doesn't mean it can't again. There are a lot of good people in this town. There are a lot of brilliant people in this town. There are a lot of strange people in this town, or they are all of the above. And I love them, all of them. And I think it still has a fair hope of success.
It is a place where people can express themselves. No place can fulfill a person, but Fairhope somehow has always offered a sense of promise that you can give yourself time here. There is an innate serenity to the locale. It's not what it was, but I think that Fairhope is still a place where people come to find themselves.
Yes. And then you never stop this thinking. You go on, here I am at 87 and so full, I'm not saying, you doctors, keep me alive, I've got a lot to do yet, you know? This philosophy allowed us, all of us, to be discoverers, to grow and to be yourself. And I am where I want to be. And I have the most wonderful day.